Hello friends, today I have a podcast covering a conversation with Dr. P.M. Bhargava, a top biologist and biotech scientist of India, regarding GMO. Oh, he's got credentials that are a mile long, but briefly, he is the founder and former director, Center for Cellular and Molecular Biology in Hyderabad, India, former Vice Chair, National Knowledge Commission, Government of India, former member of the National Security Advisory Board, and current nominee of the Supreme Court of India on Genetic Engineering Appraisal Committee of the Government of India. So over to my talk on 30th of March 2013 with Dr. P.M. Bhargava.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Bhargava. This is Shantanu from Vancouver.
Yes, Shantanu, tell me now. Okay. Sorry, I kept you waiting.
Do we have maybe 20 minutes to 30 minutes?
Yes. Go ahead.
So, what is your assessment on the future of BT cotton in India?
Well, you know, my assessment is that the future is very bleak. Of BT cotton, because every committee that has been set up has said that there should be a total moratorium for 10 to 15 years on all products carrying a BT gene. So the future is very bleak. You see, what there has been assessment of the performance of BT cotton for over the last 10 years, and there is no question that in the initial years BT cotton did very well, but only in irrigated areas. It didn't do well in rain-fed areas, and two-thirds of cotton in India is grown in rain-fed areas. And in fact, there were a large number of suicides of farmers who use BT cotton seeds. So this has now become quite evident. And then even in those areas where it worked very well initially, the performance has become much poorer. For example, in Gujarat, the yields have stagnated and the soil has become incapable of sustaining any other crop. In Punjab, we have those pests which were minor pests and unimportant pests now becoming a major pest, like mealybug. So, there's a Supreme Court case. The Supreme Court has appointed a technical expert committee of five outstanding scientists, and they have given a unanimous support that there should be a complete moratorium on all crops, moratorium for 10 to 15 years, on all crops carrying a BT gene. So then there is also this international assessment of agriculture research, science, technology, research for development. You know, it took 4 years for them to prepare a report, 450 scientists, including about a dozen from India. That report has said exactly the same thing. Then the Parliament appointed committee, the Standing Committee on Agriculture, and asked them to review the performance of GM crops in India, which is mostly BT cotton, entirely BT cotton. And they have given an extremely severe criticism of the performance of BT cotton. And they said there should be absolutely no field trials permit. So taking all that into account, and the fact that the Genetic Engineering Approval Committee, which is a statutory committee, and which gives permissions for large-scale field trials, and eventually permission for release of the crop, it's a statutory committee, but for reasons unknown to us, its term expired in April, and the new committee has just been appointed. I'm the Supreme Court nominee on that committee. So I think taking everything into account, it would seem that the prospects are really very bleak of BT cotton surviving in India.
Thank you, sir. Would you would you be able to guess whether India was going to ban this and get it out of their fields, or that's not likely to be happening? What's happening from
no,
that
it is end? Likely to happen. It is likely to happen.
Oh, it is likely to happen. So we may. Oh, I see. So we may expect government of India to take some sort of a policy decision to step back. I don't know what is the right word. How to get the BT cotton out of the environment?
You see, the government of India will on its own not do that, because our government now is sold out to the United States and to multinational corporations. It's a very well-known fact. Everybody recognizes this. I mean, I know the Prime Minister very well. I had dinner with him, and I told him so, and he didn't deny it. So the government will not on its own take such steps. The government, I think, will be forced by the civil society.
Oh, I see.
So that it has no alternative. It might even become an election issue because we have a general election in 2014. One of the very encouraging things that has happened, not only in India, but even in the United States and elsewhere, that civil society has opened up in the sense that civil society has become strong, and the writ of the government doesn't always run. The government does things not in the interest of the people. You know that in the U.S., in California, and in November 6 elections, the Proposition 37 was defeated very narrowly. Proposition 37 said that there must be labeling of all GM material that is in California.
Correct.
And it lost by just 48-52.
Correct.
Now, that was expected 10 years ago. And this is when these companies spend $1 million a day.
Correct.
And well, if your proposition didn't have that kind of money.
Correct. But now this proposition is being coming up in many, many states, and it's probably a matter of time before it succeeds in labeling at least one of these so many states where it is coming up.
Yes, so I'm very aware of that. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that, and the evidence against GM crops
is overwhelming.
Surprisingly, it is now overwhelming. Therefore, I couldn't give you a direct correlation between GI disorders and the consumption of GM crops. But there's a correlation available for allergic response. I can send you that my PowerPoint presentation, which gives you details of how it is very clear that the incidence of allergies of various kinds in children and adults in the United States correlate with the increase in the consumption of GM crops.
I would love to get that.
I
will send you an email to remind. That would be very nice, Doctor. I have another question now related to this. I understand that the GM crop has two basic kinds. One of them is the one that has the BT gene inserted, which is toxic in its own DNA. But the other kind, which is supposed to be pesticide tolerant, Roundup ready. Crop.
No, Roundup Ready is a disaster. In fact, for that, the committee said that there should be complete advantage. Another expert committee has looked into this. That's a much more of a disaster than BT cotton. Roundup Ready.
I see. And what kind of Roundup Ready crop has entered India or trying
nothing
to enter?
Nothing so far.
Oh, nothing.
None so far. But several are being tried.
Oh, I see.
Tried.
So I read this. We read here this news articles that come out from the agriculture minister saying that you cannot stop field trial and this and that. So he's supporting. Looks like he's supporting all.
Oh,
kinds
he's supporting. Absolutely, he's one of the most corrupt people we have, and he gets a lot of money from these companies. So I know him personally, and I can say that he is one of the
one of the worst that one can any country can have. You know that he imported wheat and paid twice the price that we paid to our farmers. If our farmers would pay that price, they would have given him any amount of wheat that they want. So there are large number of allegations against him. And he is known to be, widely known to be extremely corrupt, which is sold out. So
It's a tragedy
even as far as research is concerned. And you see, I've been connected with ICR for the last 30, 40 years. I've chaired many of their committees even now. And the entire research, agriculture research, is now tuned to solve American problems, not Indian problems.
So
there's a new U.S. knowledge initiative in agriculture.
Yes.
So that's a, if you look at what is happening under that initiative. So we are not doing any work to really help our farmers. You know, when I was vice chair of the National Knowledge Commission, then I persuaded the Director General of ICR, who is also a secretary to the government, to hold a number of meetings on important areas. And those meetings were held. And not one of those recommendations has been actually pursued. So, and what is being done is of no consequence to us.
So you think that India might be able to fight off this, if I may call it a menace, this menace because of because the public or the civil society is taking up arms. But can the civil society resist this onslaught of money that's at disposal of this of these huge corporations?
Yeah, but you see, the money will be paid to the senior government people like the agriculture minister. But money doesn't buy everybody, that we know.
History
doesn't buy everybody.
Ah.
And there's a tremendous technical, very sound technical support. After all, I'm a professional scientist. When I make a statement, I can cite evidence in favor of that statement. So the fact that some of us are involved who at least cannot be bought, and whose culture is that you don't make a statement unless you have evidence in favor of that statement. And people trust us. So, you know, one is carrying a tremendous amount of burden. In fact, I sometimes feel, at my age, to carry that burden is not easy.
The other
Roundup
part,
ready.
The Roundup Ready has not yet come, and no. The Brinjal, the one that caused so much of a groundswell of opposition in India, if I may call it like that, and then it was kind of stopped by Jairam Ramesh.
Stop.
What's happening with that?
Because Brinjal, there is no chance of it coming back.
Oh, no chance, huh?
No, see, Jairam Ramesh is a very, very old friend of mine, and he's a very decent person, and he did absolutely right. I think he trusted us when we gave him the evidence.
So
he wrote a wonderful report.
I see. That's very good to know. Yeah.
Evidence is so overwhelming. For example, the recent work of Seralini
About the tumors and all the illness in the rats from exposure to this this exposure to the BT gene or exposure to the pesticide, I forgot.
No, exposure to the rats were fed the GM corn.
Ah, okay.
The BT corn.
So I have another question, Dr. Bhargava. We came to know about this. What do you call that? Biodiversity Preservation Act of India of 2002, I think, and then this separate the some sort of a separate litigation filed somewhere in Bangalore.
Yes, that's very much on.
And that seems to imply that forget about patenting BT Brinjal, the very act of sequencing the gene without telling Indian government first was kind of stealing the intellectual property of the nation with regard to its
That's absolutely correct. it's not sequencing gene, it's using that particular brinjal, variety of brinjal, which is covered by our STR.
So the law says that you cannot use that gene and then tinker with it to create some patented...
No, you can't use the variety.
You cannot
use the variety that was used for transformation, for genetic transformation.
So it amounts to... Does it amount to biopiracy or does it not?
It amounts to, in some ways, biopiracy, which is against the conventional biodiversity and against Indian laws.
And then, the question is, if this law has been violated, what is the right course? Is government of India supposed to sue them or revoke their license or
already
what?
Sued. They already have been sued. Monsanto has been sued.
Oh. And then?
They've already been sued. So the case will now be discussed in the court.
Oh.
And Monsanto may have to pay a very, very heavy penalty.
Oh, I see. So it is not something that will reach Supreme Court. It is something that likely to be decided by the High Court in the province itself, right?
Well, it can be decided, but they can always appeal to the Supreme Court.
Oh, I see. So this...
But they are in trouble. There's no question about it.
I see. So what happened in this... BT brinjal case, not about the groundswell, the opposition and all, but this biopiracy issue or this breaking of the law with regard to biodiversity, can that argument also be used for other GM crops that the companies might have been thinking about in terms of...
They'll have to be looked at each case separately.
I see.
In this case, the variety that was used, as it turns out, India is the center of origin of the variety, and therefore nobody can use it without India's permission.
Oh, I see.
Like basmati rice.
Yes, correct.
You know the case of the basmati rice.
There was a kind of a rice patented as basmati rice by USA. I forgot.
No, that was not allowed.
Oh, I see. Huh.
India fought it and that was not allowed. It's called Pexamati.
Okay. So I have another question, Dr. Bhargava. There is this brouhaha or lot of talk that we hear about this product called golden rice.
Well, that's another racket. See, golden rice is rice with vitamin A in it.
Huh.
Now, there is a tremendous amount of publicity. Yes, you can get the vitamin A requirement if you eat about 15 kgs of rice every day.
That's absurd.
That's absurd. And then in India, you can get the daily requirement of vitamin by eating one carrot. That's all.
Another question. This golden rice, is it supposed to be also patented or just freely given?
No, it is patented, but they say, I think it's to Swiss scientists, they say that we will not charge any intellectual property fees. But who's going to use that? Nobody can use it because the amount of rice you'll have to eat to get the vitamin A daily requirement.
So I'm trying to understand what is the business goal behind pushing it. If they're not going to hold intellectual property, what's the reason for pushing this thing? If it is of no.
Well, you see what happens in such cases is initially you say you will not charge, but then when the other rank disappears from the market. Then you charge, is exactly what happened how Coca-Cola came into India. Initially it was cheaper than the cola-based drinks in India. And then it got all the other drinks out of the market. And then it raised its price sevenfold.
I see. So it's a very long-term goal, huh?
Yeah. So these companies have a very long-term
Jesus. And tell me something, this Swiss company that developed the golden rice, the actual technology of transferring one gene from something else to the rice, is that, does Monsanto or any American company have some stake in that?
I think that North American company is Syngenta. Syngenta also has an American.
Oh, I see. Syngenta might have some stake in that that business.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And then last question, I heard from your own lecture in a few months ago in Calcutta, and that was I noticed that you mentioned that in North America there has been a subtle but rapid change in the food habits where wheat is being replaced by corn.
By corn, yes.
Now to
follow... There's a whole book on it. I can't remember the details, but I can send you the details.
Okay, I will... I will ask you, I'll remind you on the emails, but the question is, has wheat been at all successfully modified genetically, or they have somehow...
No, wheat has not been modified.
Why not?
It's not modified wheat. There's scientific problems in modifying wheat.
So,
you know, these are long different categories, wheat and rice. It's a little more difficult. So no one has modified wheat so far.
Oh, I see. So the reason it has not been modified is because it's not financially easy to do so. Is that right?
It is scientifically, it's not easy to do so.
Oh, scientifically.
Technologically.
Uh-huh. Yes. I see. And I see. So that's why it has not been modified, and that is one of the reasons why the push is there to change to corn.
That's correct. Yes.
I see. Okay.
In fact, if you carefully observe, it is difficult to find a product in the American market where some component of corn or soya is not there.
I see.
I see.
And last question, Dr. Bhargava, we are now 25 minutes. Last question is this: all the things we mentioned so far, like cotton. Cotton is not not something that we eat, but I believe.
We have cotton seed oil.
We
do in India use cotton seed oil, and then the remnants of the cotton plant, after cotton is harvested in India, are used as a forage crop for cattle.
Oh, so that means the BT gene is already into our food system.
Well, this is what is worrying lots of us. And you know, I've been saying this for the last 7 years, almost two decades, 1998, 1999, that these set up laboratories where we can send samples for testing. And there's no laboratory in the country, in India, unlike in the United States, where anybody can send a sample and say, tell us whether it's GM or not GM. We don't have a laboratory in India. And this is deliberately not done because, so maybe large number of products that we see in the food stores here will be found by GM, GM material. We did analyze Doritos corn chips. And Doritos corn, we call it in a German laboratory. And it is full of both soya and GM soya and GM corn.
Which thing? What thing? Oil?
Doritos corn chips.
Oh, I see.
You know.
Yeah. I see. And it has already in the Indian stores.
It's already in the Indian stores. And we got packets from Indian stores. Got them analyzed and reported to the government, nothing happened.
It's disaster. So, you think that this issue might turn out to be one of the deciding issues in the next election, more to do with the farmers' situation than consciousness about food?
Well, it could be. It certainly will be one of the issues. I cannot say it will be a major issue, but it certainly will be one of the issues, yes.
I see. And this farmer suicide, which is completely different than a simple academic discussion about whether what is BT gene and so on. So this farmer suicide, which we are told is such a astronomically high number, shouldn't it?
270,000. Yes, 270,000.
So should,
and they started. Yeah. Started with the use of BT cotton. In fact, in my, you know, I have in my archives, I have 250,000 documents in spanning six decades. And I found documents which clearly establish that Monsanto has been selling BT cotton even the 4 years before it was actually permitted officially to do so.
Hmm.
And the first farmer suicide, I'm all this documentation now. I knew that I had it somewhere, but I didn't talk about it because unless I have proof. And now I have all the original documentation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also causing a ripple.
So is there, Dr. Bhargava, this is a personal question. Has there been an effort in the scientific circles to have you discredited or have you ridiculed or have you kind of moved out of the limelight because of your stance against this GM, what do you call, push?
Well, there certainly have been attempts, and I must say, and I'm very grateful to everybody concerned, that by and large, or the people in general, no one has discredited me or doubted what I've said. So the only people who do that are those people working for Monsanto.
I don't think
anybody takes any notice of that. And, you know, that's a burden of gratitude that I carry on my shoulders.
Wonderful. Dr. Bhargava, I have no more question. I know I've taken up quite a lot of your time, but I would like to stay in touch with you and maybe send you an email and polish up a few. I promise not to harass you too much.
And
it's wonderful to know that India, with all its poverty and ignorance and whatnot, is actually doing perhaps a better job, not only saving itself, but actually showing a way for the rest of the world than the North Americans have done.
Well, on this issue, there's no question about that.
That's wonderful.
You know, I was invited to the Philippines, and I think they are going to scuttle Philippine dollar. I was invited by the president of Nigeria some years ago, when Obasanjo was the president. And that was a question he asked me about Monsanto trying to get to Nigeria. And I think they followed what my advice was. So I think there is hope. So.
And that brings us to the end of this particular podcast. We shall be getting back to Dr. Bhargava later again on more details. But for now, this is Tony Mitra signing off.